You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, my eyes are up here.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, indeed, it is. How did you know? How did you know that that's what this was? How did you know that? I must say, before I start the program, you look very attractive today, and I'm saying that in order to gain your favorability. That way you love me to begin with because I complimented you. I know what I'm doing. Hey, anybody see my pants? Could somebody bring me my pants, please? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's stupid, isn't it? That was stupid. I apologize for that. That was stupid. I usually don't do stupid things, but I do apologize for that. Pants are funny, aren't they? Pants have always been funny to me. They're just funny. They cover up stuff. It's a piece of clothing that just is funny to me. Pants. I see. It's something a dog does when it's perspiring. It's also something you wear on your bottom half. And I don't know, women wear pants, men wear pants, lamb chops wear pants. There's a lot of pants going on. But here's what I don't understand about pants, and I think I talked about this on a previous program like 17 years ago. Why are pants plural? Because you can't buy a pant. I guess each one of the pants has a pant leg. They have two pant legs, because we have two legs. We have a left and a right, or if you're dyslexic, we have a right and a left, or if you're Jewish or Hebrew, it's a right and a left. So it doesn't matter how you say it, but there's two pant legs involved. So when you're buying this article of clothing, you're buying a pair of pant legs or a pair of pants. But what they leave out is you're buying a pair of pant legs and a crotch area. That's right. The crotch area is thrown in for free. It's an extension of the pant legs that goes up to your waist, and we don't put it in the title of the garment. We just call them pants, but they're also crotch coverers. Yeah, crotch cover. Well, Ron, I thought a crotch coverer were underpants. Whatever, just stop it. Just stop it now. I'm just saying, it's just weird that we, you know, I don't buy a pair of shirts. Well, because there's two arms. There's a right arm and a left arm. So it should be a pair of shirt. But it's not. It's just a shirt. So why can't the thing on the bottom of your body be just a pant? Look what I got you for Christmas. I got you a pant. Wow. I love this pant. I wish I had a pair of pants. And then I'll get you two pant. Wow, two pant. A pair of pants, that's right. You don't get people a sock. Look what I got you for Christmas. What'd you get me? A sock. Whoa, where's the other one? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to get you two. I thought you had another one. Yeah, okay, fine. But what's with the pants? Why is that why do we do that? Well, we do a pair of socks. But that's two different items. There's a left sock and a right sock, and they're not connected at all. The pants are connected at the crotch area. The older you get, the higher the waistline on your pants, to the point where they're just touching your breast ever so slightly. This was a fashion back in the 70s and 80s where women wore pants that were above their waist. And it was the stupidest looking thing ever. I called them horse pants. Because, you know, when you're doing that, the horse costume, somebody's the front of the horse, somebody's the back of the horse, and you have to put on the horse leg pants, they go all the way up to your tits. And that's why I called them horse pants. But that was a fashion for a while. Fashions were odd, man. Depending on what generation you were brought up in, fashions were odd. They really were. Very strange. You know what I mean?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
There was a time in our history, back in the 60s, I believe it was, where they had Nehru suits. Ron, I don't even know what that is. I'm not from that generation. I know. I don't expect you to understand it because nobody talks about it and nobody wears one. But we all dressed like we were from India, like we loved Nehru. Who's your idol? Nehru. I don't even know what that is. What's a Nehru? It was a person. And we dressed like Nehru. It sounds funny to say. They were Nehru suits. They were odd. They had their collars looked like priest collars. They were very, very strange. And the people wore these things. I never did. Oh my God, I never did. Even though I could have, at least I had the knowledge or the self-knowledge of, no, that's stupid. I'm not wearing that crap. And I didn't. But that was very popular for a while. Back in the 80s and 90s, I believe it was. Maybe it was the 80s. I don't really know because I can't remember shit. People were wearing doctor's smocks. Dr. Smock. Yeah, no, that was, no. That was Dr. Spock. I always got Dr. Spock and Spock confused, you know? Spock was the one on Star Trek with the funny eyebrows and the big ears, which a lot of people in my grade school looked like, naturally. And then there was Dr. Spock that wrote a book about parenting. Yeah, that worked. And then there were Smocks.
Smocks!
So, you know, when these surgeons, the surgeon tops, you know what I mean? You know, they like when you're a surgeon, that the scrubs, that right, there were shrubs? No, those are the bushes. Scrubs. That was a fashion thing. And you didn't have to be a doctor. You'd be walking down the street dressed like in doctor scrubs. And especially the top. You could wear the top of a doctor scrub and jeans. And that was something that people wore. They looked like my dentist is what they did. My dentist looks like that. That was a fashion thing. Then we had the bell bottoms, which I don't understand that. They'd be skinny around the top of the leg, and then the bottom of the leg toward the ankle, they would blossom out really wide so that you couldn't walk around. You basically trip on your own pants all the time. That was a very popular look, the bell-bottom jeans. Jeans have gone through the biggest fashion strangenesses of all. First, there were the baggy jeans, where everybody who wore jeans looked like they were working on a farm and fell into the pig shit pen. They were oversized. They looked horrible. I know your legs are in there somewhere. I just can't see them. Your pants are so big. They were just oversized and they looked horrible. And jeans were for farm people, basically. You had the farm look. And then jeans got very, very cosmopolitan, and they'd be the tight jeans that would hug your leg for men and for women. Now, that look is still around for women because it's really sexy. For men, not so much. So there were the tight jeans, so tight that you couldn't move. And then we got into the pre-washed jeans. Hey, I got some new jeans. Okay. Now maybe I'll wash them after a week of wearing them. Maybe I'll wash my jeans. You don't have to. The store pre-washed them. Excuse me. They're pre-washed why am I wearing jeans that look like they're already been washed? Because that's the look, man. That's the look. And then we had the bleached jeans, where it looked like you tried to clean your jeans, but you screwed it up royally, and there are bleach marks all over your jeans. Oh, my God, look at your jeans. Throw them out. They're discolored. They got bleach marks all over them. No, that's the way that's how I bought them. We started getting into the era of distressed clothing, where when you buy jeans, they're supposed to look like they're horrible. What? Yeah, now Levi started by making the jeans nice and blue. Yeah, they were really nice. Some of them were made like overseas in Korea and Taiwan and stuff like that because labor is so cheap and children got nothing else to do, so they might as well make clothes. And then you wash your jeans for the first time and all the laundry that's in with your jeans in the washing machine, it's all turned blue. Now the jeans are okay, but they screwed up all the rest of your clothing. That still happens today. We started manufacturing jeans that were already looked like they were worn, and that's the thing. And it's still going on today. Then we got into the latest craze, which looks like someone just beat you up. And that is the ripped and torn clothing. And it started with the jeans where, okay, now we're going to buy jeans that look like they should be thrown out immediately. Holes in the jeans, especially around the knee, because you spend most of your life on your knees. You know what I'm talking about. How do you know when it's time to throw your jeans out if when you buy them, they look like it's time to throw your jeans out? Ron, that's the look. That's the style. Okay, this is getting crazy. For women, they're making some tops, which is worn basically on the top of the body. That's why they call them tops. They have ripped sleeves now, so it looks like someone ripped your sleeve. Oh, okay, now we're doing that, huh? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. We want the sleazy, someone just beat you up look. Comes with stage blood and the whole thing. The ripped jeans, I don't know whether a woman is highly in fashion or is a vagrant bum. I don't know the difference. I guess if their hair is looking okay, then it's the high fashion. If they look kind of sloppy, then they're the vagrant bums. Other than that, I have no way of knowing who's who anymore. The idea is to look sloppy. Some women actually wear their pajama pants out in public. Not because they want to, but because they have to. Because that's the style. I don't understand it either. I really don't. I don't know. We're now dressing down so that we don't look like we're dressed up. We don't want to look like we're taking care of ourselves. That is not right. Look like you're not taking care of yourself and there's something wrong with you. That's how you're accepted by society these days. We're wearing sweatsuits. Sweatsuits now, Adidas and all these, and Nike, they're making fashionable workout clothes that you can wear anywhere, including a business meeting. Now there's business attire and there's business casual. Oh, okay. All right. This is crazy now. It is. It's just, but things change. When I was a kid, actually, I was a young adult, we wore bandanas. Yeah. The original idea of bandana was if you're sweating, you'll sweat into the cloth and that'll be good for you. But then the headbands became a status symbol, especially for hippies, which I was for a period of time. I will admit it. I had the headband. I had the long hair, the beard. I was skinny. Yeah. Back then when I was growing up, they also had a thing called free love. You no longer had to pay for it. I thought free love was that you could pick up a prostitute and there'd be no charge. Apparently, that wasn't the case. Not only with them was it not free love, but they didn't even offer a discount. I'm kidding. I've never been with a prostitute except for in my dreams, perhaps. As a matter of fact, if you really want, I will tell you a story where I almost got involved with a prostitute. I was working in New York City, in Manhattan, and they had some places, and I was walking home from work. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I had a late job. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking by this brownstone building, and there were some girls sitting on the stoop. And as I walked by, they said the following, hey, you want to come upstairs? Well, sure, I want to, but of course I really won't, because that isn't right. And I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I guess I was young and stupid, or maybe I was just stupid. In any event, okay. So I said, yeah, okay, all right, I said, and we went upstairs. I walked up the brownstone steps, and they took my hand and led me into this room that looked like it was strange because all the lampshades had fringes on them, and they were all red colored. And I guess what this was a massage parlor is what it was, where they would do massages. That was their gimmick. They would do massages, but at the end, they would have something called the happy ending. They would read a fairy tale to you, and everybody in the fairy tale would live happily ever after. I thought that was the happy ending. I thought, okay, they're going to read me a fairy tale while I'm getting a massage. That sounds pleasant. Sounds like even children could be here. Did not know. Did know, but didn't know. So anyway, so we walk into this room, and she asked me to take her clothes off. And I said, don't I take my clothes off? She said, no, I'll take my clothes off too. Okay, now I knew that this wasn't just going to be a fairy tale reading. And as soon as she took her hand, and she took my hand, and she led my hand to a place on her...
This is a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. This is only a test.
Beep! There, is that good enough?
This has been a test of the emergency Ron broadcast system. In the event of an actual emergency, Ron would already be in his bunker, where he stockpiled enough whiskey and croutons to last him for the next 5 to 6 years. We return you now to the Ron Van Dam Show, already in progress.
She really was incredible. I never went back there, but man, I've never had... Did you enjoy that? Yeah, that was quite an experience that I had. Never happened again, made a mistake, sorry about it, and all that stuff, but man... When she did what I just told you she did, that was like the end of the universe, man. And I was happy. All right. That's fine. Anyway. What? There was a what? An emergency broadcast? Crap. All right. We'll take a break when we come back. More program. Shireen Palvides joins us. She's a best-selling author and social media chef influencer, and she does, and she builds houses and all kinds of things. Not the houses? Okay.
No. All right. But you know what? I do decorate, so I got that.
Oh, you do have, so, okay. I was close, and I was guessing, but I was close.
But I do that for fun.
Okay, fine. Anyway, we're talking about something that we're all familiar with, and that's what they call the incredible egg because it does so many things. And it's good for you under most circumstances, certainly. And the holiday season's coming up, and eggs come into play, I suppose, huh?
Yes. Four out of five Americans always have eggs in the refrigerator. I know I do. I rely on eggs.
Yeah.
I'm a professional recipe developer for over 15 years, so uh-huh. I need eggs for my baking, for my savory dishes, and everyday eating. They're quick, reliable, satisfying, and without them, our recipes will fall flat.
Yes, and no one wants that.
Yes.
Let's start at the beginning of time, 10 BC, when they thought that eggs were bad for you. And that was, you know, stay away from them. They're not good. Then there was a turn and they said, man, in every situation, eggs got omega-3s. And now eggs are like really healthy all of a sudden.
It's a great source of protein.
Yeah.
I eat eggs, gosh, probably 3-4 times a week.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, my favorite is I make a quiche, which is unbelievable. And that's like, man, that's like you can put anything into it. It's great. But you have some interesting things coming up for the holidays, baking-wise. Tell me about these.
Pecan pumpkin cheesecake. So I do a little salted caramel at the end. And I add four large eggs into the cheesecake. And what the eggs will do for the cheesecake is it binds it.
Yes.
It creates a velvety, silky texture.
Eesh.
So when after it's been set and you just, you know, it has that beautiful mouthfeel because you have that beautiful, silky texture. And without them, you can't make the cheesecake. It's not the same. You need the egg to set you up for success in making a foolproof cheesecake.
You know, it's unfortunate that I'm doing radio. I'd love to be able to taste the cheesecake. You probably have samples there, I guess.
I have a beautiful set. I'm sorry that you can't see it, but it is in front of me, and it looks beautiful.
All right. All right. You don't have to pile it on. Okay. It's in front of me, and it looks beautiful, but you can't see it, and you can't have any. Okay. A lot of the preparations you can do ahead of time, right? I mean, you can make these dishes ahead of time and then you have to worry about it and out they come.
The beauty about a cheesecake, you can totally make it ahead of time. You can make it 2 days ahead. It will live in your refrigerator. I have a great little chefy tip to ensure the most perfect foolproof cheesecake. Not only do you add your eggs, but it's the temperature. I don't add a bain-marie.
Uh-huh.
I put it into the oven at a low temp. I baby it to step it out into room temperature so it doesn't go from extreme hot to then 70 degrees in your house. And then I put a towel over the springform pan to absorb any condensation so that way it doesn't drip onto the cake. You put it into your refrigerator, let it set 6 hours to overnight. But again, you could do this 2 days ahead.
Uh-huh.
That way that's off your list. Your dessert is done, and then you can just cut it and serve it. Take it out of the refrigerator when you're ready to serve it to your guests.
Yeah, and that's the best way, too. It should be chilled, right? You want, that's what you want.
It's just going to further set
the
cheesecake. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get into the kitchen thing besides the baking?
Well, I do bake, but my number one focus is savory. My brain is more of the culinary.
Good.
But I've learned the way to people's heart is through baking, so I forced myself to understand the science. I mean, I can cook with my eyes closed. With baking, I definitely put a lot more effort into it.
It's
but
science,
I will never release a recipe unless it's perfect.
I see. You know,
and it's a science, right?
No, it is. It's very different than, I mean, you can get creative, but you have to be scientifically, make sure you got the ingredient levels right. Otherwise, it's not going to be what you think. I mean, I'm like you. I'll take eggs and I'll make dishes that people never heard of, and they're incredible. I have a lot of fun with that as well.
Have you ever added it to oatmeal? So you have to try that. That's on my social media.
Oh, my God.
So if you take your morning oatmeal, how you normally make it, five-minute oats.
Yeah.
You're good at 5 minutes. So after 2 minutes in low heat,
yes,
add 1 to 2 eggs, scramble it right in, low heat, and you got to keep stirring, stirring, uh-huh, stirring for 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
They don't scramble. It becomes a custard. It is absolutely delicious. I have that video on my social media, Cooking with Shireen, across all platforms.
Okay.
But you have to try that because now you have your protein. Now you get this beautiful custardy texture.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
I have a friend who has the pre-diabetes thing, and they were told to eat eggs and oatmeal. You just solved their problem.
There you go.
Thank God, Shireen. You should be like, should be a statue of you somewhere. Like in a kitchen,
like Rocky on the steps.
No,
like that kind of stuff.
No, like in Italy, like in one of those plazas.
Oh gosh, yeah. you're being way too kind.
This is what chefs do. So okay, all right. Where can we go? Give me that recipe video website again.
Okay, so I am on social media across the board: Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Cooking with Shireen, so it's, yes, at Cooking with Shireen.
Yes.
And you can find the recipe for my pumpkin pecan cheesecake at incredibleegg.org.
Perfect. Well, continued success to you. Keep on letting us know, and we appreciate your time today. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too. Happy holidays.
Take care, Shireen.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you've thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective, and we'll take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I don't know how you do it. And you know what? I don't really care. I don't care. I care how I do it. I don't really care how you do it. But you do look really wonderful today. You seriously do. I don't know what it is about you. Did you have your eyebrows treated with something? No? I don't know what it is about you. I know what it is. The hair coming out of your ear. Did you have that? Did you trim that off? No, you didn't do that either? Okay. I've noticed that gigantic pimple and pus mark on your cheek is gone. Oh, it's makeup? Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's what it is. All right, I'll be back again the next time a weekday rolls around, which could be quite soon. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace. ¶¶